to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. Longing for the lilac valleys of last night, I awoke in a crater. Fighting the feminine urge to cry, denying myself the decency of dim lights, distant music, and total isolation, I was aware of myself but unsure of her all the same. The sky was full of thunder and magic. I watched it with wistful eyes, waiting for all the ways I've been pulled apart to reconcile. For each inch of me to find a way home, but there was nobody brave enough to bring me back and allow me to sleep. The sky put on a show. Stories spun from the stars and blank space, and I was grateful for the peace, graceful in my quiet contemplation. I'm at the center of the stage, but the audience talks among themselves, chattering and chewing on my scattered limbs. They are desperate to evolve, but their tracks trash everything that I am, and each of their prints collapses into a crater, capturing and making a monster of me. The cat does not drag me in. She nudges me, lovingly, soft glances with yellow eyes, secure in herself. I'm threatened by what I am, and what I have always been. We sit together in star-surrounded silence because there's a moon out and lilac valleys look down upon us. The two of us have no home. We belong nowhere, but we persist in being because there's nothing else to do. Agents and imposters arch their backs, crawling along grubby floors with grins that disgrace them. My name written in neon across their ever-speaking shoulders and under neck chokers. I am not dragged in by the cat. I just follow her to safety. The ladder behind me burns, is incinerated by those who have been crawling up since the beginning of time, and now they let their daughters toil, charred and scarred by judgment, shame and pressure. I don't know if I'll ever go home. I don't know if I ever could. I just wander the world with my long-craved companion, complete but completely lost. She is real and true peace. I do not disgust or fascinate her. I am just a small speck of space under the sky, not repackaged, not reimagined, just understood and accepted. I'm free of my fairy tales now. Once upon a time, I truly believed that there was a hive of heroines ready to rescue me, but I found the Violet Knight all by myself. There was nobody to teach me, nobody to hold me, nobody to protect me, because they were all so busy burning ladders and posting perfect PR statements on Instagram. They called me by their name, but they treated me like something different. They invited me into their arms and then cuffed my wrist. It's all fine. I lived. I crawled through fallout and active volcanoes, only to meet curious reporters with no self-awareness who ask in booming voices where the shame comes from. I could answer, but I've gone on long enough. My throat is sore and tired of the arrows, shot by those who cannot swallow inconvenient and uncomfortable truths. I could answer, but you'd never hear me. The ground would shake, as would your head. Your hands would clamp over your ears and I'd be lip-syncing to the lifeless, silent scene. You'd still ask the question of why we will not be clearer, but I have been as clear as I can be, without becoming a catastrophe that ends the world as we know it. There is a war going on, and they say it's my fault. I don't even know if you know the question that you're asking anymore. I don't even know if you know why you want to be here so much anymore. It is a different decade and dimension, and I am mindful of what may lie outside my window, but I simply do not look. I remember running from my reflection, making wishes on every available star for her freedom, watching the world worry less, soften and mind their business, and by the time my race was over, another cycle had started. It was a different decade and dimension. The words were the same, audibly, but they felt different in our mouths. And I was afraid to tell anyone that I'd seen the world before. So different, less difficult, but it wouldn't do for me to be difficult, so I kept it to myself. I wanted to be safe, but the opportunity for that has passed me by. So now I am wrapped in the wayward arms of a riddle, playing an impossible game of impossible things with people who were quite possibly the most smug and boring people to ever exist. I'm a player and I'm a prize. The rules are unclear, but it is made clear that they are stacked against me and that I deserve that. I must find a way to deal with it. Swallow the situation and circumstances like a good girl or a helpless, horrid bitch. Mouth open, mind open, soul open, wardrobe open. There is a war, and I am an ally and attacker. I am weak, and I cannot survive without you, and I am strong enough to stand atop you as your oppressor. These things are not in doubt, competition, or contradiction. I am the daughter of a witch who swings from south to west, depending on how agreeable I am, and I am homesick for the lost future that left in a hurry while I was playing hide and seek. It is a different decade and dimension. It is painful to consider what may lie outside my window, so I simply do not look. I lock myself up, safe and sound, solitary. I'm in my Star Trek era again. I noticed that Picard had wrapped, it had finished. And I had been putting off watching Picard because I did not like Picard. I did not like Jean-Luc Picard. When I watched Next Generation, Next Gen was my least favourite of the Star Trek series, and Picard was my least favourite captain. I know that's controversial, and everyone's like, what? But Picard's the best. I'm sorry, some of us love Janeway. And by that, I mean some of us are homosexuals. I feel like if Janeway's your favourite captain, you're probably... I mean, that's a very, like, gay thing, really. When you think about it, it's funny looking back, and there are things in my life that I thought I had like kept under wraps, and they were like little things I could enjoy, but they're actually really obvious signs of what had always been there. Like, you know, on Twitter you can go through like your tweets, right? So you can search for in tweets, and I was looking through stuff the other day, and there's literally so many tweets when I first, because I first got a Twitter account in 2009, and there were so many tweets there of me just unprompted, out of nowhere, no context, just going on long rambles about all these women that I admired, and I thought they were very amazing. And it's like, girl, you very obviously had feelings for these women. Very obvious. Girl, I literally wrote thinly veiled love poetry about Carol Ann Duffy, and I was out here thinking nobody knew. I can't believe I treated you people like mugs for several years. I'm sorry. But anyway, back to Star Trek. So I'm not going to give you Picard spoilers. Don't worry. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a dick. But I have now actually watched Picard. I watched it in like a week. Every spare moment I was like, let me get that open. Let me watch that. Because I saw some screenshots and stuff, and I thought, wow, that actually looks really fun. But I'd been putting it off because I didn't actually like Jean-Luc Picard, and I did not like Next Gen. So I thought, I'm not going to like a show that is entirely centered around a captain that I didn't much care for. Turns out I was wrong. I actually really did like it. I really enjoyed it. And now I just have an urge to watch all of Star Trek again immediately. And I had this thought the other day. I was like, I want to watch Voyager. But I felt like it was weird. Like, I felt like like an excitement, because Voyager is my favorite Star Trek series, but also I felt like this weird guilt, which I always used to get when I would watch it. It's like, I'm enjoying this, but I'm enjoying this. So, I mean, who among us has not been attracted to Catherine Janeway? I'm sorry. I like powerful women. I'm sorry. But I think it's like residual guilt from when I was younger and I was like, I'm not allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to like her. That should not be doing that. Also, if I watch it back now, it'll be interesting to see if I actually hate Chakotay or if I just hate him because sometimes the writers would hint that him and Janeway had feelings for each other. Do I actually hate him, or do I just hate that he's potentially, you know, macking on my woman? I don't know. But it's weird because I didn't hate Q. I didn't hate Q. But you know what? I think there was a part of me that was like imagining I was Q, but like if Q was like a hot girl, I don't know. Anyways, also I hated... Oh God. Anyway, I had that feeling, like, again. I was like, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to watch, you know, this show that I love. But then I had this guilt. And I didn't know why. Because I was like, listen, the secret's out now. Everybody knows the truth, you know, and you're being okay with that now. We're doing that. It's all right. It's perfectly legal to find women starship captains attractive. It's okay. So why do I feel guilt? It's not like I'm going to do anything inappropriate, you know. But why is it that I feel like that? And it's apparently Lesbian Visibility Week. Well, actually, it's just ended, but still. It was last week when I wrote this stuff. And one of the things that came up repeatedly was that studies are showing that many people feel embarrassed, ashamed, guilty of being women who are solely attracted to women. And I mean, I guess in a sense I would fit into that, given that I literally pretended I wasn't for several years. So I mean, yeah, I guess I kind of come under that. But I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And you know, a lot of these articles, they were asking, well, why is that? Why, you know, why do these women feel ashamed? Why do they feel embarrassed? Why do they not want to label themselves with what they are? Why are they so desperate to call themselves something else? Why don't they, you know, why won't they proudly say, you know, I'm a lesbian? Why won't they say that, you know? And so I had to think about it. And yeah, I got some ideas. I got some ideas. So, you know, I would say number one, because still at a time when everybody has convinced themselves that they're so much better than that, there are a great number of people that will try and shame you. You know, one of the first things when I realized I couldn't go on pretending anymore. I was like, look, I'm going to have to do this, aren't I? I'm just going to have to be who I actually am. I can't do anything else. And I actually spent a lot of reflective time, you know, kind of trying to reach out and find people like me, see if I could find someone to understand me, you know, that kind of shit. And again and again and again, I kind of and met people, and they were very clear about the fact that actually lesbians are bad. They're mean. They hate men. They're really discriminatory. They're mean-spirited. They're bitchy. They're horrible. And all of this stuff, all of these stereotypes. And I know it sounds stupid. Oh, it's just a stereotype. Why do you care? But when you are somebody who is only just, you know, becoming okay with allowing yourself to be labeled as something, if you have someone repeatedly telling you, oh, this group of people, oh, you don't want to be with them, they're horrible, they're mean, they're ugly, they're awful, they're bitchy, they are horrible, they're discriminatory, they're bullies, all of this, that's just going to go in because you're in a vulnerable space. You're in a vulnerable space when you, I feel less vulnerable now, but in those first few months, and this was before I even, because I remember I did like a whole podcast where I was like pretending that I was like asking you guys opinion, like, oh, what do you think? Do you think I'm this? I was not. I already knew. I was just testing the waters to see if you guys would hate me. And most of you didn't. So that was nice. but like before that, I was in a vulnerable space. I was thinking, you know, I know the truth, but I think maybe my life would be easier if I didn't. And I think maybe my life would be easier if I just kept pretending and I just kept up this charade that I've been doing it this long. I can keep going. Just because one person figured it out, that doesn't mean anything. I can do this and I'm going to be safer, and maybe I won't be happier, but I'll be safer if I just keep going. If I can't do this, I can't change everything. I can't do it. I'm scared. You know, that's how I felt. I was terrified. And, you know, it's like, I'm miserable and I kind of hate my life right now. But who's to say I'm not going to hate it even more if people find out, if people know? And I think a lot of the apprehension came from, you know, the negativity, the stereotypes, all that kind of stuff, you know, so it does do real world harm. But then when you finally get to a point where you're like, well, okay, this is what I am, and I have to find a way to be okay with that. But then you have people who, you know, and this is a particular thing in the LGBT community, or you know, whatever you want to call it, there is a lot of negativity towards lesbians and a lot of stereotypes, and that is harmful, you know, for people who are, you know, trying to be okay with who they are. If you are repeatedly told, oh, you're that, oh, well, they're horrible and we hate them, then you're not going to be okay with it, and you are going to insist on being something else, or, you know, pretending or labeling yourself something else. You're never going to feel free to actually be who you are. And for some reason, this is not clicking with people. I don't know why that is. You know, so this whole idea that, I mean, listen, are there lesbians who are mean? Yes, it's me. I just have a really loud voice. Everyone thinks it's everybody, but it's just me. No, I'm kidding. you know, but if we don't see positive things about ourselves, well, then it makes sense. It stands to reason. Of course, none of us are going to want to say, you know, put our hands on and say, yes, hello, it's me. You know, I'm the wee lesbian, as a great woman once said, because you're just going to feel like everyone's going to judge you. Everyone's going to hate you because of all the stereotypes and all the things that they think to be, you know, to be true. There was a moment last year. My God, it's last year. Time flies. Last year at Pride, I was very fortunate and I was very lucky. I got to actually be part of the parade. It was amazing. I had such a great time. I really, really enjoyed it. There's a couple of clips on my Twitch of that. If you ever wanted to check that out, because I was live streaming. It was a really great day, and one of the things that I still remember as I was walking through and everything, these girls, they started pointing and yelling. I think there's a clip of this on my Twitch, because I had, and it was a big moment for me. I was really scared about it, but I still did it anyway. I had a lesbian flag with me, because everyone had their flags, but you rarely see lesbian flags at these kinds of things, right? It's either just like the rainbow one or something like that. But I had one, and these girls, they are pointing and they're yelling and they're so excited. You can literally see on their faces. And they were literally pointing and screaming, lesbian, lesbian. And I was like, oh my God, they mean me. And I'm okay with that. They mean me and I'm okay with that. And that was something when I was growing up and I kind of became aware that actually that was a word that definitely applied to me. I was terrified of the thought of someone screaming that at me. It was like my greatest fear. It was like my fucking recurring nightmare. Like I would wake up crying after dreams of people finding out what I was and all of this. I was terrified because I thought that it meant my life was over if everybody knew. I really did, you know. And then to have that moment years later, I'm literally walking down a street, a crowded street in central London, and people shout it at me. And it felt so positive. Because they recognized me, I recognized them. And there was no negativity. It was, I see you. And you see me, and we are the same. And it feels good to know that there's someone else out there like me. And it's you. And we're here together on this day, and it's sunny, and we're having a great time. And I'm happy to see you. You know? And that was what it felt like. And that was something that I needed. I didn't know I did, but I did. And I think part of the difficulty is that a lot of people will not have that moment. I was very lucky to have these very hyperactive and enthusiastic people pointing and shouting in a very nice way at me. But we can't set up moments like that for everybody. So what do we do? If we want people to be more positive about who they are, we need to be creating a positive environment. We need to make people feel safe about who they are, you know? So we need to be ending these stereotypes, this ridiculous stuff, you know? You can't be shocked if people feel negative about themselves, if as a community, that's what we're perpetuating. Do you know what I mean? Second problem. I can't believe I spent so long on the first problem. And also talking about Star Trek. Second problem. Porn made for men. There we go. If you go onto Reddit, the lesbian subreddit is actually porn. You have to go to like variously different titled subreddits to actually find like spaces and like discussions from actual women. But if you... If you go to just Reddit lesbians, it's literally just porn. And this porn, by the way, is mainly straight girls. It's just straight girls doing stuff because men like it or whatever. It's embarrassing. this is for men. This is for men. And... you know, I'm pretty sure all of the mods are men. you know, it's men fetishizing, you know, women, and, you know, making our lives and our existence into something sexual for themselves. And that is part of why some people feel nervous, anxious to claim their true label, because they don't want to be fetishized by men effectively. I mean, I care less about that, if I'm honest, purely because, like, I just don't really care, like, what men have to say. No, I'm kidding. There I go, living up to the misandrist stereotype. No, but I mean, I don't know. I think I'm kind of at an age now. It's like, I know what they're like. I know, what can I do, you know? But I know for younger girls particularly, it's something that really upsets them and it makes them feel degraded for sure. And so, you know, that I think is definitely a barrier as well. And it kind of, it made me laugh a little how you had all of these, you know, brands and companies and journalists and stuff asking this question all week long. Why do some lesbians think, you know, that it's bad to be a lesbian? Why are they uncomfortable with it? And quite a lot of these platforms participate in the fetishization. Like Pink News, okay, I'm gonna fucking talk some shit here. Pink News recently published an article that I'm pretty sure was sponsored by a porn company, and they were talking about how straight women are, you know, watching lesbian porn and then looking for lesbian hookups because they don't like men as people, so they don't want to be with them sexually. They're still attracted to men, they're not attracted to women, but it's basically just doing it out of spite, I guess. And so apparently that's a good thing for us. I don't think that it is, actually. I don't think that us being fetishized by straight women instead of straight men for a change, I don't think that's actually helpful or good. I don't think that increasing the numbers of straight women who will sort of try and get attention from lesbian women, I don't think that's good. I don't think offering us up as some kind of sexual solution to women who want to get off but don't want to be with a man for like personal reasons or whatever, I don't think that's good. I just think it's a bit shit. And it's funny that a publication that's supposedly for our community was out here advocating for all of this and acting like it was cool and fun and fabulous, and we should be totally okay with basically being fetishized by straight women instead of just straight men. No, actually. No, thank you. No, thank you. And, you know, these are the same publications that will post thoughtful little articles about, but why do they not want to be labelled as who they are? Why are they a bit anxious? Why is their community falling apart? Oh, I wonder. I wonder. I really do. But also, I feel like there's a lack of self-awareness, you know, in this community of ours. I mean, maybe that's because when you just shove lots and lots of people together simply because they're not heterosexuals, things sometimes tend to go awry. But, well, there we go. Another visibility week done. Do I feel particularly visible? I don't know. Do I feel particularly positive? I don't know. I'm hanging on to the fact that I am okay with myself a little bit more this year. It had nothing to do with that week, which is effectively just like a branding opportunity for companies, if we're being real. I feel better because I'm doing that work to get better, you know. Whether it is keeping tight hold of that memory from Pride with those girls, and they saw me and I saw them and we felt safe with each other. Whether it is those little moments in my little book club where I can talk to other people like me and feel less like a freak. Whether it's just holding on to those moments where I watch Star Trek and, yeah, I still feel a little bit guilty, but I also feel, I feel like one day I won't, and I have that to look forward to. That's the work, and I'll keep doing it, and I'll be okay.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever, with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier patron supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Casey, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Elena, Alicia, Emily, Andy, and Tyler. I'll see you next time.